Well, in a game that looks, frankly, a lot like that Chiefs-Rams game did. The Bears are playing the Lions right now with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. It is 0-0. Welcome back into 610 Sports Radio and all over the world on the radio.com app. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Got Julio Sanchez across the glass, and I am the sports machine, Sean Levine. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to welcome on Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. And Julio, Pete said that he was going to be around family because that's the exact same time that his Thanksgiving is. And Pete's dad listens to every minute that Pete is on the radio. He texts in a lot, right? Big Pete from Oceanside. You might have seen some of those texts that he sends in. I'm going to try to get Big Pete on the phone. And I'm going to ask him something really, like, what do you think I should? Last time, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride peed the bed. What do you think?
I'll say the most embarrassing Pete Sweeney story
I
could possibly give.
I think peeing the bed is always a good one to ask the dad because the mom's going to defend the child and be like, hasn't done it since he was a toddler. The dad's going to be like, oh, he came home on prom night just S-faced and, you know, still have the mattress upstairs to keep it. You know, something like that. I can't wait for that story. We'll get Pete Sweeney coming up about a half hour from now. But Julio, right now, give me some beats. I want to know who's higher. You want to tell us the last time you peed the bed as an adult?
I cannot remember. It may or may not have not been that long ago. It may or may not have been drunk. It's neither here nor there. Who's higher?
No booze in your system and you still peed the bed and admitted it to the whole city. Good for you.
Moving on. Touchdown passes thrown in second year, Pat Mahomes or Dan Marino?
And what do you want to know?
Who's higher?
Okay. Well, in his second season, Dan Marino threw for 48 touchdown passes, which is crazy. I don't understand sports statistics sometimes. They say numbers never lie. When it comes to first-year full-time starting quarterbacks for touchdown passes, the record is 26. Doesn't that seem way too low? Russell Wilson and Peyton Manning, their first full season, threw for 26. To me, that seems way too low. And then I found out that in his second season, Dan Marino threw for 48, and I thought, wait, that seems way too high. 22 more touchdowns than the highest guy ever did in his first full season? And then I saw Patrick Mahomes, and I went, you can throw all these numbers out, because I actually do think that he's going to throw for more than 48 touchdown passes. Let's just do a little bit of quick math here. He has 37 touchdowns through his first 11 games, which means he's averaging, what, more than 3 touchdown passes per game? I can do that, and I'm terrible at math. The rest of the way, 5 games left, 3 times 5 is 15. Tack on 15 touchdowns to what he's already at, 37. Again, I'm not good at math, but we're up to 52 touchdown passes. And at this point, I think that's a conservative number. I think Pat is going to finish this season with 55 touchdown passes, finish too shy of getting free ketchup for the rest of his life. But that's more than Dan Marino's 48, which means Patrick Mahomes in his second year is higher.
All right.
I think that's overshooting it a little bit, but the schedule is pretty easy coming up. So
yeah, you also said that at the beginning of the season when Vegas set Patrick Mahomes over-unders. I think it was like 24.5, and yeah. I said he's going to double that, and everybody went, oh, come on, man. Well, he's going to.
They're a little bit off on that one. Who's higher, Kareem Hunt rushing yards this season or last season?
Last year he led the league in rushing yards with 1,300 and change. Right now, Kareem Hunt is at 824 rushing yards, so not quite on the same pace. But it's not anything that he's done. It's not a drop-off. It's because the Chiefs are smart, and it's the way they've used him. They've split the carries a little bit. You've seen Spencer Ware get some touches. Because when it comes to yards per carry, which is the best way to judge a running back, he's still right there. 4.6 yards per carry to go along with 7 touchdowns. Still a threat out of the backfield as he was a season ago. That's the number that doesn't get enough credit when it comes to Kareem Hunt. Yes, the fact that he's averaging 4.6 yards per carry, has 7 touchdowns and 824 yards, those are all phenomenal. But here's what I like even more. He's on pace for over 40 receptions and 600 yards out of the backfield to go along with another, wait for it, 9 touchdowns receiving. Kareem Hunt this season. Where am I at here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. He has 7 receiving touchdowns this season. Kareem Hunt, you're running back. So when it comes to rushing yards, he's not going to have as many as he did last year. So to answer your question in a long-winded, roundabout, twisted way, Kareem Hunt last year is higher.
Are you a pothead, Farka?
No. No. What? No.
Am I looking at these numbers right? He has 7 rushing touchdowns and 7 receiving.
That's exactly why I just played that drop.
Okay, fair enough. What's next?
Oh, boy. Who's higher? Total wins by the end of the season, the Chiefs or the Rams?
Yeah, if you would have asked me this one last week, I would have said the Chiefs. But right now, the Chiefs have doubled the amount of losses as the Rams have. I haven't taken a look at the Rams' schedule the rest of the way, but I do know who the Chiefs play. 2 games versus Oakland, game versus Seattle. Only 1 more game versus a team that's over 500. That team happens to be the Chargers, who the Chiefs dominate. In their last 5 games, I fully expect the Chiefs to win 4, if not all 5. In fact, I expect them to win all 5.
Rams have the Lions, the Bears, the Eagles, Cardinals, and the 49ers.
Wow, that is crap. That is hot crap.
I mean, Lions and Bears, that's going to be a good game.
Besides the Bears, there's a lot of eh. There's a lot of eh there. Because of all those eh, I'm going to say the Rams finished 14-2. The Chiefs finished 13-3. Therefore, the Rams are higher. I'm in my head now, though. So was I right or wrong when it comes to Kareem Hunt touchdown receptions? Does he really have 7?
I need to look. I'll look it up for you.
That sounds so high.
I'm going to go with you're wrong.
Okay.
The usual.
You wouldn't be the first.
Right? Who's higher? Sacks this season, D Ford or Chris Jones?
If you would have asked me at the beginning of this season, how many sacks is Chris Jones going to have? I would have said, I don't know, dude. Why are you asking me such a dumb question? He's a defensive lineman. 4? And then if I would have said, if you would have asked me how many sacks D Ford would have, I would have said, well, he's really only had 6 good weeks in his entire career. The rest has been pretty average. I don't know. He's maybe going to have 6 sacks. Well, both of those guys are on pace for double-digit sacks. If the season ended now, which I don't know why it would, but if the season ended now, both those guys are going to finish at least top 10 in NFL defensive player. What are the chances that a defense that's cost you 2 games to the point where you scored 40 and lost, you scored 50 and lost, yet the defense is going to have at least 2 Pro Bowlers in Chris Jones and D Ford. By season's end, I'm going to say Chris Jones gets 2 more sacks. D Ford gets 5 more sacks. D Ford finishes with 14. And by the end of the season, D Ford, Julio, is higher.
All right.
A little slow on the trigger there.
Yeah, you are.
Who's higher receiving yards this season, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce?
Right now, Tyreek Hill's got 1,106 receiving yards through 11 games, which means he's on pace for, wait for it, 1,600 receiving yards. Travis Kelce, right on his heels with 914. So Kelce's on pace for almost a 1,500-yard season himself. I think that Travis Kelce, towards the end of this season, is going to start to catch a lot more touchdowns than yardage. Like I said at the beginning of the year, I thought Kelce would average about 1 touchdown a game. And people, that's crazy. That's way too high. Well, turns out maybe it is. He's only got 7 touchdowns through the first 11 games. I think he has a couple of games with multiple touchdown catches. And by season's end, Kelce's up to like 13 or 14. I am surprised that Tyreek Hill's found the end zone as frequently as he has. 11 touchdowns through 11 games is insane. But he's always got that ability of taking a 5-yard catch and turning it into an 85-yard catch like we saw versus the Rams in the case of Tyreek Hill. So when it comes to total receiving yards, Tyreek Hill is higher.
Get it out. Shout the rooftops. This is great. This is the bee's knees.
And it does appear that old Kareem has 7 rushing touchdowns.
You like apples, Julio? How you like them apples?
I'm not an apple pie. I'm more of a pumpkin pie fan this time of the year.
Okay.
Who's higher? More touchdowns this season, Sammy Watkins or Chris Conley?
Hey, be real with me here for a second, right? It's Thanksgiving 1, we can be real. Did I tell you about Sammy Watkins? Was my preseason predictions about Sammy Watkins being pretty pedestrian, pretty average, and the highest decoy in the history of the NFL pretty accurate?
I don't think you went on a ledge for that one, but yes, accurate.
They paid him $15 million a year. Like hell I wasn't on a ledge. Here's his numbers. 3 touchdowns, 519 yards so far for Sammy Watkins. Although he has been a much better fit and a necessary fit than I thought he was going to be. What I'm saying is I don't know if this offense would be nearly as explosive as they have been if they didn't have at least a decoy that is Sammy Watkins. He has 3 touchdowns right now. Chris Conley has 4. Sammy's probably going to catch, I don't know, one more. So is Conley, which means Conley is higher.
What are you people? On dope?
Which was kind of my point heading into the season, that if you've got a guy that's going to have similar numbers in Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson, like given the opportunity, Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson would finish with similar numbers than Sammy Watkins, then you might not want to spend $15 million a year, the fifth highest per dollars at that position in the entire league, not because he isn't worth it, which he isn't, but because you could have spent that money elsewhere. Oh, I don't know. The secondary? Last one.
You say that, but they're just making sure Patty Mahomes has all the tools he can possibly use to be successful. But who's higher? Last one, likely playoff result. The Chiefs play in the AFC Championship game or don't?
It all depends on home field advantage. If the Chiefs don't have home field advantage, and I think they will, for the record. But if the Chiefs somehow don't have home field advantage and you're talking about back-to-back games at Houston, at Pittsburgh, at New England, at the Chargers, at the Patriots, that's just a tough thing to do, is go on the road and win 2 road playoff games, which is why there's only been one team, actually 2 teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers 6 or 7 years ago, and the New York Giants are the only 2 teams that have made it to and won a Super Bowl playing all road games. So essentially, especially with this particular team, they have to have home field advantage. Coming up next, we step back inside the mind of the machine. Good Thanksgiving morning to you, Kansas City. It is 610 Sports Radio. Thanksgiving morning, Julio Sanchez. Is it still the morning? Technically, it's the afternoon, I suppose. Don't laugh at me, Julio. I got a lot of stuff going on. Welcome back into the show. Sports Machine Sean Levine taking you up until 3 o'clock. They're already smashing me, as you can see, on the text line. Because I said, what did I say earlier? That the Chiefs have scored 90. You knew I was going to screw up the math. They scored 40 against the Patriots and lost. And they scored 50. That was 43-40. Was that the Patriots game? Let me find my schedule here. They lost to the Patriots earlier this year, 43-40. And they lost to the Rams, 54. Oh, text line is right. My math was not. 51 plus 40 is indeed 91. So the Chiefs have scored 91 combined points, Julio, in their 2 losses. That's scary to think.
5 listeners out there and they still caught you.
And those are friends and family only. So that was an aunt and uncle that literally just corrected me on the text line. Thanks a lot, Uncle Ed. Julio, let's step back inside the mind of the machine.
All right, so just out of curiosity, where does your deep love of the Zambezi Zinger come from?
Well, for those that don't know, the Zambezi Zinger is a defunct roller coaster at Worlds of Fun that I've got a slight obsession with. I think it just comes from having a lot of good times as a young kid at Worlds of Fun. The fact that they had the single rider line is a good place to meet chicks. The fact that it was a roller coaster without seat belts just blows my mind. The other day I couldn't sleep, so I decided to YouTube Zambezi Zinger and see if anything came up. A lot of Orient, remember the Orient Express?
Of course.
A lot of Orient Express stuff comes up. Apparently, when Worlds of Fun does their Halloween haunt or whatever it's called, they still use the part of the Orient Express that you used to get on to get into the cars. That was a hell of a ride. But there's just, as a lifelong Kansas Cityan, man, there's these things that you grow up with, and then when they're gone, you really miss them. For example, Tippins, Wade's, Metcalf South Mall. Talk about rest in peace. The Woodlands. Do you think they'll ever bring the Woodlands back?
Nah.
It's done?
No, that's
here
final.
Here comes Woody! I could at least apply for that job. I thought that was all right.
What was a job? It's no longer a job.
Correct. Gosh, I miss the Woodlands and Tippins and Metcalf South. What's next?
I do not miss all that smoke, by the way, at the Woodlands. You were telling me that the boss was
You know that was a requirement. You actually had to smoke either Pall Malls or Marlboro
like
Reds. When you walked in, no matter how old you are, they hand you a lighter and a pack of cigarettes.
I'm going to leave that one alone because I can make a couple more cracks on that one. You were telling me that the boss was watching your rec basketball game the other day. Did you show out in front of him?
Okay, well, the boss wasn't watching my rec basketball game. Here's what happened. I don't even play on Sunday nights. I was going to watch my friend Sam play in his league on Sunday nights. And I'm the type of guy that when I get to the gym, I want to play ball. Like if I'm going to play ball, I don't go with my shoes in my hand and I call line and I stretch and I wait and do all that. Like I'm the guy, once I hear the basketball's dribbling and I walk into the gym, I'm ready to play. So I asked my buddy ahead of time, I'm like, is there any way that I can play in your game? And it's one of those places that checks your ID against your jersey number. So he goes, nah, it's going to be way too strict. You can't pull it off. So I was like, screw it. Literally, I drank two Natty Lights like the second before we left to go to this guy's basketball game. So I was getting a little buzz going. I figured I was just going to go as a fan, right? I'm in my flip-flops. I got my glasses on. Right when we get there, guy on his team goes, hey, we've only got four guys. Does your buddy want to play? Now I've got my flip-flops on, my glasses. I got a little buzz going. And I'm like, yeah, I want to play. So I did. Not well. The boss, so I commit a really, really hard foul, right? Like, really hard foul. Biggest guy on the floor, slams down to the ground. The entire gym stops. Everybody's looking. And I'm scared this guy's going to beat me up. I look out the window, and who else is looking in but Gopher John? Our boss is standing there with his arms crossed, just shaking his head at me like he does when I host a radio show. Like, this guy's unbelievable. And then I went down and knocked down the game-winning three. Okay, no, I didn't. What's next?
You wore your friend's shoes barefooted with no socks. Is this true as well?
My choices were flip-flops, barefoot, or even though I wear a size 12 shoe, wear his size 10s. I went with that option. I've already lost three toenails.
Bare feet in a shoe that's two sizes too small.
Winning, oh, I'll ball you up in flip-flops.
Winning combination.
I've been known to cross a guy over in flip-flops. Do you remember Prince on the Chappelle Show? When he balled
up?
Oh,
yes.
I mean, the guy came out in full, the same clothes he was wearing the night before. That's me.
Game. Blouses. with the NFL season quickly wrapping up, who ends up winning each division?
New England. The AFC's pretty much wrapped up except for the West. And after the Chargers lost to the Broncos, that's pretty much a foregone conclusion, too. The Chiefs are going to win the West. Houston, Pittsburgh, and New England. And the NFC... Who had Chicago, right? That division was either going to be Minnesota or Green Bay, but it looks like Chicago is going to win that division. I don't know who's going to win the NFC least. Right now, the Redskins are 6-4, but their quarterback's legs in a million pieces. Poor Alex Smith. I think Dallas ends up winning that division, and then the Rams and the Saints. There's your division winners. What's next?
In a women's soccer match earlier this week in England, the referee forgot a coin.
No big deal.
So instead had two opposing players play paper. I think it's supposed to be paper, rock, scissors, not paper, scissors, rock.
I'm pretty sure it's paper, scissors, rock.
Is this a fair way to decide such a thing?
You think it's paper, rock, scissors?
It's definitely paper, rock, scissors, not paper, scissors, rock at all.
You sure?
I'm 100% positive.
If you don't have a coin to flip, I think the paper, scissors, rock is the second best way to go. Because what would be a third option? Honestly, like you do the whole Rochambeau, you know what that is?
I do.
You hold the number behind your back or like you. To me, if you don't have a coin, which is basically as 50-50 as it gets, the only problem is you get people that cheat playing paper, scissors, paper, rock, scissors, paper, scissors, rock, whatever the hell you call it. And they either want to go before you're supposed to or they wait a little bit long, or they start with a rock and then they flatten it out to a piece of paper. I know you're kind, Julio Sanchez. What's next?
By the way, that's alphabetical order. Paper, rock, scissors.
Okay.
Do you have a go-to side dish for Thanksgiving, and are there any Levine family traditions you care to share?
Levine family traditions? Not really. Since my grandma died, not really. We used to pull the old wishbone and see who got the bigger end.
R.I.P. Grandma.
There's lots of food at a Levine family Thanksgiving, but frankly, well, they're probably listening right now, so I'm going to offend everybody, but they're gathered around the radio listening to us. The food kind of sucks. Got to wait till dessert. Got to wait for the pumpkin pie and the homemade Aunt Rochelle whipped cream. Last one.
Is Thanksgiving and the NFL the best holiday sports marriage there is?
Right now we've got a 0-0 football game going on. You got 3 football games today. NBA has Christmas all day long. New Year's Eve used to be the correct answer to this question, the best sports holiday, where you could sit around or lay around, most likely hungover all day long, and watch a bunch of great football games. Now they're just too spread out. You're going to watch like the Alamo.com Bowl and the Toilet Bowl and a couple of other bowls that you've never heard of on New Year's Day. If you want to watch the big boys, those take place later on in the week. I guess March Madness, but that's not really a holiday. It just feels like a holiday, that first Thursday and Friday. It's not actually technically a holiday the same way that NBA and Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving football, but might as well be. We're halfway home. 5-hour show today, Julio. 2.5 in the book. Coming up next, we talk Chiefs with the publisher of Arrowhead Pride. He is Pete Sweeney. He's coming up next right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Game. Blouses.
Coming up about 20 minutes from now, we're going to swipe to the right, or maybe swipe to the left. It's Tinder. Well, sports Tinder. Super Bowl contender. Julio's going to name me a team. Julio's going to say Minnesota Vikings. And I'm going to say, oh, I'm swiping to the left. They're ugly. I don't want to meet their parents. They got issues. And then he's going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm going to say, I super swipe. We'll get to that. And Super Bowl contender coming up about 20 minutes from now. But right now, let's head out to the East Coast, where Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride is in the middle of a Thanksgiving Day celebration. What's going on, Pete? How we living, man?
Things are good. We got the family coming here. Turkey's cooking. We have chips and dip, you know, the fixins. If you can figure out a way to get out here by the end of the afternoon, we got a seat for you, Machine.
I'm going to be lucky if my 1996 Ford Ranger gets me back to Midtown, let alone New York. But I appreciate the invite. Just out of curiosity, on Monday night, right, you're hosting. You were still in town, right? You did postgame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did the post game. Yeah.
So I was watching the game with some buddies, and I was, what's the word I'm looking for here? I was drunk, right? That's what it was. I was drunk by the end of that game, and it was very enjoyable, and I was being very entertained. But then I went to sleep because I was a little bit upset with the results. What was the show like? What were the callers like after the Chiefs put up 50 points and lost on Monday Night Football?
Something about Kansas City that I have found interesting is that normally after Chiefs wins, they get really high, and then normally after Chiefs losses, they get really low. But this was a different animal after this game. For some reason, the general feel of the callers and even some stuff that you saw through social media was just sheer optimism. I think given the fact that the Los Angeles Rams are respected as a Super Bowl contender, and I know you're going to get to the contender pretty soon, which we've done before.
Pretty yeah, fun.
People have viewed the Los Angeles Rams as a Super Bowl contender, and I think what Monday proved is not only can the Chiefs hang with them, but if a few things go their way, maybe you know Mahomes has 4 turnovers instead of 5, it's a whole different ballgame and swings in the direction of the Chiefs. I think in the loss, it created a lot of believers out of Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Wouldn't you have said those exact same things about the first loss of the season? You lose by 3, primetime game, Super Bowl caliber competition. Wasn't it very similar to the New England loss where, I don't know about you, but after both losses, I actually feel better about this football team?
Yeah, I think it was similar, just because now you've entered a situation where you have the Chiefs and there's games against what we saw against the Arizona Cardinals, and then now you have the Raiders coming up twice. If you're a Chiefs fan and you're watching these games, you're thinking, there is no way in hell my football team is going to lose this football game. And in the past, maybe the Chiefs would find a way to lose, play down to their competition, but it's just a new, whole new world, I think, for Chiefs fans, where you know your team's going to win. Teams that you might lose to are some of the better teams in the National Football League, like a Steelers, is potential to lose, maybe a Seahawks down the road. Again, you hope they don't lose those games, you know, if you're a follower of the Kansas City Chiefs, but at the same time, the confidence against some of these bad teams now, I mean, you are officially in the top five, the upper tier, which is a good feeling.
Got my good friend Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride on the line, live from New York at his Thanksgiving. You got Sweeney and the Machine on a Thanksgiving afternoon right here on 610 Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes, from the word go, has been unbelievable. And then he got better and better and better. And even in a game where we can go, yeah, but he did this, he turned the ball over a couple times. What did he throw for? 470-something yards and six touchdowns? Right. Are you at the point where you don't expect some sort of drop-off? I realize that we're 11 games into a 16-game schedule, but most of the time, players are up and down and back up. Is there any worry that at some point he's going to have a downstretch?
I think your floor is now a Matt Stafford or a Matt Ryan for his career. Mm. For me, I've seen too many times the one-hit wonder. RG3 comes to mind, where they have an outstanding first season, and then all of a sudden the fan base is electrified, and they're like, oh, the whole thing has changed. And then the second season comes and something happens, whether it be an injury or whatever. I need to see that second season, so I want to see how the Chiefs look next year. If I'm guessing, I think you're there. I think he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League, and all the signs show that he is going to not only be an MVP contender in the final 6 weeks here, but also moving forward. And the thing about that's nice, I think, if you live in Kansas City and you follow the Chiefs, if you have a really good quarterback, you are in it each and every year. You know, it's never really a question of are we going to be involved. Just because a quarterback changes the game for you, and the beauty of that, and you think about it, is there aren't 32 quarterbacks in the world. You know, I think there's a lot of NFL franchises that are looking for that for years, just because there isn't one for every team. And Kansas City is set now, again, pending the health of this kid.
What about Pat meeting his mental match? Because so far, that to me has been the most impressive thing. I knew he could scramble. I knew that he had the big right arm. I knew he could do all these things. But mentally, he's just so far out ahead of any quarterback that I've ever seen play the game. When the postseason comes around, might that be another one of those mental hurdles? Because he's been as close to perfect as a guy could be.
Well, that goes to the match with Andy Reid. I think Patrick Mahomes is the perfect quarterback for Andy Reid, and I think Andy Reid is the perfect head coach for Patrick Mahomes. Now, you fast forward to the playoffs, that is the one area, the one single area, where Andy Reid has not had success in his career. So you hope finally that this quarterback maybe taps into what is a little bit more of a calmness when it comes to playoffs for Andy Reid, and they can go have success. That's the biggest question mark. And I look at Patrick Mahomes, and he, as great as he is, and I think he'd be a great quarterback anywhere, what makes him elite is the match with Reid in Kansas City and just the creativity and the weapons around him and so on and so forth. I don't know if he's necessarily having these numbers in Buffalo. Again, it's been great in the regular season. Now let's see if it translates to January and hopefully February.
I agree. I think that there's more to the story, though. I think that it is a great combination. I think that Andy Reid is a perfect quarterback. I think having all that talent around him certainly helps, but I just think Patrick Mahomes is so far out ahead of the curve with the mental aspect, more so than any of us ever could have expected. We're talking with Pete Sweeney here on 610 Sports Radio. Good Thanksgiving morning to you, Kansas City. How important is it that this team ends up with home field advantage? Because the only two teams to beat the Chiefs so far this season, it's been on the road, and they barely beat them. So how big of home field advantage this season in the playoffs is Arrowhead Stadium?
Sean, one last point on that other thing, just the mentality of Mahomes. Eric Bieniemy in training camp, he noted that Mahomes has this incredible recall. And I don't think it gets talked about enough. It's similar to like LeBron James had in the postseason. And what it allows him to do is in the same game make an adjustment where maybe another quarterback would have to see it three or four times on tape. And I think that their mid-game adjustments is the difference you're seeing in Mahomes, and maybe even Alex Smith in that. I felt like Alex Smith back in his day kind of got worse as the game went on. Mahomes seems to get better, and that's the difference. Now, when it comes to home field advantage, I don't necessarily view Arrowhead Stadium as advantage. I hear the Arrowhead advantage. I hear the crowd noise. But if you think about the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, it's not like they've been infallible. in the stadium. What I think home field advantage is more important for is not traveling to Foxborough, not traveling to Heinz Field. That's going to be the difference. I'd rather play in Kansas City. But to me, I look at it, well, it's more like a neutral field because like, we've seen teams come into the playoffs. We've seen Marcus Mariota, of all people, come into Arrowhead Stadium and win. So is that much an advantage? No, but I think there's such an advantage for having to go into Foxborough for Tom Brady, for having to go to Heinz Field for Big Ben, that you need that home field advantage, kind of in a different aspect of it.
You're starting to sound like my man Carrington Harrison now. Get out of the past, Pete Sweeney. We now have a guy named Patrick Mahomes. Don't worry about what Marcus Mariota did last year with Alex Smith as your quarterback. Speaking of Alex Smith, nobody wanted to see what happened on Sunday. But bigger picture, how much of Pat's success is because of the way the Chiefs played this thing out with Alex Smith? You think about Josh Rosen. You think about Sam Darnold. You think about all these guys that got thrown into it right away and were expected to be great. How much of the way the Chiefs developed Patrick Mahomes for a year behind Alex Smith result in what we've seen so far this season?
Incredibly, it was an incredible amount. And Andy Reid has said them numerous times. So that's something that's common and weird that he likes to say is that Patrick Mahomes owes Alex Smith a mansion for all that he did for him.
He does.
And the college game is so different, I think, than the pro game, that if you afford to have a year where, you know, you don't have to go to class anymore. You can spend full time at your craft. You have to manage that time. How do you do so? What's a good routine? A lot of these quarterbacks who are rookies are thrown into the mix, and then it becomes quicksand, right? So, you know, like you see a rookie quarterback like Josh Rosen struggle now. He has to bounce back from that, whereas Mahomes, the pressure was off for a year. You could learn how to do it, and then when it was time for him to jump into that driver's seat, he was clearly ready. And I think so many times rookies don't get that chance, and I think Alex Smith, in his own right, is the perfect example, where Alex Smith was drafted to this team, one overall, and he had three or four different offensive coordinators in the first 5 to 7 years of his career. Patrick Mahomes comes into the situation because the Chiefs traded up so high. They had a quarterback in place, so not only did he have the year to learn, but he has all these weapons around him because the Chiefs were pretty good before Patrick Mahomes, and because, you know, they weren't one of these lower draft pick teams, he entered a great situation. Like, it's just all perfect for this kid, and I, you know, he's extremely fortunate for a lot of reasons, Alex Smith being one of them.
Let's switch sides of the ball to the defense. Answer me this riddle. How can you have the worst defense in the NFL, but if the season ended today, two guys that would probably finish in the top 10 for NFL Defensive Player of the Year voting, and Chris Jones and Dee Ford. How do those numbers add up?
The secondary. I just think the safety play has been so weak. Cornerbacks have been all right. You look at the front seven, it's been all right. It's getting better each and every week. Safety play just hasn't been great. I mean, Ron Parker has not had a tremendous season. I think Eric Murray has not. They ended up benching Jordan Lucas, who was playing pretty well for these other guys with the experience, I think, because they know the scheme, so on and so forth. And it's going to sound like we're broken records here because we talk about it all the time. It's a matter of Eric Berry getting back. If you entered Eric Berry into that defense, I think you now become a complete defense, and you can really make some waves once the postseason rolls around.
Best part about Thanksgiving is having the family around. And one of my favorite texters that I've never actually met has to be Big Pete from Oceanside, because he likes to text in. Does he listen to every single second that you're on the radio?
Every single second I'm on the radio. He's actually sitting next to me right now.
Slide Big Pete the phone real quick.
Hello.
Big Pete, how we living?
Very well. How are you, Mr. Sean?
I'm doing great. Let me say, first of all, your son Pete is a great guy and a great friend. Love doing radio with him. Although, what's your beef with my Bob Shepard impersonation? Hang on. Number two, Derek Jeter. What's your problem with that, Big Pete?
It's a little weak from the Midwest. It just doesn't do good. It's a little weak.
Okay.
So you need some work.
Okay, fair enough. But there are people that are interested, like, in the life and times of one Pete Sweeney. And the most curious thing that we came up with, because I had people text in what they wanted to know about him, is when's the last time that Pete Sweeney peed the bed? And don't worry about what he's going to do to you at Thanksgiving. And don't worry about if it was just last night because Pete was tipping a couple of back. We want to know, Big Pete, when's the last time Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride peed the bed?
I am still waiting for him to pee the bed.
You're kidding me. You're kidding.
No, as far as I know, it's never happened.
Do you have any good, what would you say is the prime athletic moment in the life of one Pete Sweeney? Because he looks like a guy that, I don't know, I don't think he was ever an offensive lineman or playing a center in a basketball game. What's his, like, crown moment athletic achievement?
I think it would probably be in high school when he was wrestling. He had a wrestling event, and before the match, he came up to me and said, "I'm going to do exactly this to the guy." And sure enough, a minute into the match was over. Exactly what he said, he did.
You're telling me Pete can wrestle?
He's a wrestler.
You don't say. I'd like to see that guy in a singlet. All right, Big Pete, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for listening all the time. Have a happy Thanksgiving out there. Oh, give Pete back the phone for just one second. I got a little beef to pick with him before I get out of here.
Okay, you too. Enjoy.
Yeah, take care, Big Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before I talk to you about missing Jake the Snake, you've never peed the bed as an adult?
I mean, come on. I got to keep it together, man. You know me.
Julio said that he's
professional.
Julio admitted that he's peed the bed within the last year, not on booze. Julio?
That is not true.
Yes,
that's not true.
That is exactly what you said.
Booze may or may not have been involved, and it was the last few years.
It was within the last year, and you were drinking a bunch of Mountain Dew,
Don't
Julio.
Listen to him, Pete.
You know exactly what was going on.
Yeah, that's a category in my life I've been fortunate. I've never had that problem. I know that a lot of people have. I had one person, I was a roommate in college, just opened my dresser drawer one evening after, you know, we had a couple of beverages and went to town. So
I had a buddy do that.
I've been around it. It's never happened to me.
Two fantasy football drafts ago, we stayed at the Ramada in Manhattan, Kansas, because whoever wins our fantasy draft gets to choose where the draft is the next year. And all my buddies went to K-State that I'm in the league with. So we went back and they had like a college, like tried to pretend like they were still in college. And my best friend was staying in the room with me. And he didn't make it to the bathroom either. He didn't go in the dresser, though. He got the ice bucket. The problem is, depending on how much you've drank, an ice bucket is only going to take care of, like, you know, the first, let's say, 30 seconds, and then the rest of it ends up on the bed and then the floor, and then you lose your deposit, which is really neither here nor there. Pete, by the way, before you get out of here, how did you miss that Jake the Snake thing, man? I mean, Jake the Snake Roberts.
You know what?
Yes.
Poor planning. We're in the middle of the season. If I'm going to do something during the season, especially during the week, it needs to be well planned. I need to have all my stuff done. Maybe someone on it. You know,
excuses. That's on you, dude.
Me and you, we have a future date ahead of us involving pro wrestling, whether it be a WWE event or maybe hopefully someone coming into town and speaking to us.
Did you rewatch the Royal Rumble I was texting you about yesterday?
I had planned to tonight after Falcons and Saints, I'm going to pop that on.
Here's what I would do. I'm going to plan the rest of your night for you. Falcons, Saints,
okay.
Drink heavily, pee the bed, and then when you wake up because you're real cold in the middle of the night from your own urine, YouTube the 1990 Royal Rumble when Ted DiBiase was the first guy in and Hulk Hogan was the last guy out. Unbelievable stuff.
That sounds like the perfect Thursday. I'm going to go get started.
That's what I call Thanksgiving. Pete, thanks so much to you and your dad, bro. Take care.
Take care, buddy.
I don't believe him. I'm sorry, Julio. I frankly don't believe him.
Nope.
I think that as an adult, at some point, booze or otherwise, if I gave you a plus minus of 5 years, 7 years, plus minus 7 years, every adult pees the bed.
It's fair.
Thank you. And that's Julio, and I'm the sports machine. And coming up next, we're going to play a game of Tinder. Super Bowl contender, right here on 610 Sports Radio. So we don't get as many texts on a holiday as we would on a normal day. Makes sense, right? People are chilling with their families, not out on the road as much, hitting up their cell phones. So when we get the text, they stand out a whole lot more. Got this one just now from the 816. I definitely peed the bed on my wedding night. And then followed it up 2 minutes later from booze, of course. Like, he wanted to really let it be known.
He had to clarify that.
It wasn't just from eating the wedding cake and being married. Like, I don't think that it's acceptable for an adult to pee the bed unless there's booze involved.
Or a medical issue.
Oh, obviously. I mean, you can always throw that in there. If there's some sort of medical issue, then pretty much whatever you do is acceptable.
How pissed off was the newlywed wife?
Was that a play on words there? Because I heard a long time ago that it's better to be pissed off than pissed on. Da-dun-tsh.
See, See what you did there.
Julio Sanchez, sports machine Sean Levine, taking you up until 3 o'clock. Right now, Julio, I want to play a quick game of NFL Super Bowl contender. You give me a team, and I'm telling you if I'm swiping to the left or to the right. Mind you, my standards, not that high.
All right, welcome to NFL contender. Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans are the hottest team in football. Some might say they're hotter than Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire. They've won 7 games in a row. And if you think about complete NFL teams, you should be thinking about the Houston Texans. For example, the Chiefs, great offense, terrible defense. Then you've got the Saints, great offense, middle-of-the-road defense. The Patriots, great offense, middle-of-the-road defense. Every one of these teams that can put up 40 or 50 week in, week out has a pretty porous defense, except for the Houston Texans. When you've got a healthy J.J. Watt, a Davion Clowney, secondary's been really good. Total defense, they're top 5. Total offense, they're top 7. When you talk about a team that has it all, it's the Houston Texans. I'm just not sure how much more I believe in, let's say, Deshaun Watson in his second season than our guy, Patrick Mahomes, in his second season. But I'm swiping to the right for the Houston Texans. I certainly think they're a Super Bowl contender. They're definitely going to win that division with the Colts and the Titans. That division sucks. I wouldn't be that surprised to see the Texans end up in Atlanta.
All right, what about team currently playing, the Chicago Bears?
Before I give you the answer, can you give me an update on what's going on with the Bears and the Lions?
It is 7-3, 2 minutes or 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. Lions are up. Actually, I'm just kidding. 9-7. Apparently, my computer is not refreshing.
9-7 Bears lead?
9-7 Bears lead. 40 seconds left.
Backup quarterback on the road. Thanksgiving. The reason I asked you is because I figured if they were down 21-0 against the Lions, I probably couldn't come on here and say, yeah, they're a Super Bowl contender. I'd sound like an idiot.
I mean, a 9-7 lead's nothing to brag
about. It's early. It's early. No, I'm swiping firmly to the left. I don't know how Green Bay and or Minnesota is going to let the Chicago. Green Bay might have the best quarterback in football. The Vikings might have one of, if not the most talented team, both sides of the ball in football. And you're going to let the Chicago Bears and Mitchell Trubisky win the division?
The Bears are, they have a lot of talent, and the Packers have the least amount of talent.
But they've got the best quarterback. But they've got Aaron Rodgers. That's the great equalizer. But the Bears are not a Super Bowl contender. I am swiping to the left.
I agree. Sneaky, sneaky. Right. What about the Los Angeles Chargers?
If you're a Chiefs fan, you shouldn't be allowed to judge the Chargers because the Chiefs always beat the Chargers. I literally can't remember the last time L.A., San Diego, Phillip Rivers, Stan Humphries. I don't know who it was quarterbacking, coaching this team the last time that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So if I was an outsider, not a Chiefs fan, I'd say I'm absolutely swiping to the right. The Chargers, they've got everything you want. Phillip Rivers might finish top 5 NFL MVP voting. Melvin Gordon is elite. And when you talk about a defensive line, whew, Ingram and Bosa, that is scary. From a Chiefs fan's perspective, no, they're a very average football team that doesn't beat anybody. But I'm swiping to the right. The Chargers are definitely a Super Bowl contender, unless they have to face the Chiefs.
What about the Green Bay Packers?
Well, you just kind of threw them right down the river and said they're the least talented team in the entire division. I tend to agree with you. But they still do have Aaron Rodgers, and anytime you've got Aaron Rodgers, you are a Super Bowl contender, so I'm swiping to the right.
All right. What about the red-hot Pittsburgh Steelers?
Exactly, red hot. Remember when the Chiefs played them and all of a sudden they were mortal, they suck, they weren't a very good football team. Ben Roethlisberger was getting old, Le'Veon Bell, they needed him. And, yeah, they haven't lost since. They're 7-2-1. I am firmly swiping to the right. As a matter of fact, if you made me pick, besides the Chiefs and the AFC, I think Pittsburgh has the second best shot, even over New England and Houston and whatever other teams you want to throw into the mix. I think right now I'd rank Kansas City 1, Pittsburgh 2, New England 3, Houston 4.
All right. And the lukewarm Carolina Panthers.
They should be red hot. Carolina should be 8-4. I'm sorry. 8-2. Instead, they're 6-4 because of two plays. They went for a two-point conversion at the end of last game instead of just sending that game. That never makes any sense to me. Why would you do that? Why would you put the entire game on one play? It's one thing, I guess, if you've got a Cam Newton type of quarterback, it makes a little bit more sense. But still, I'm swiping to the right for Carolina only because in the NFC, I believe in the Saints, I believe in the Rams, but let's say it's somebody else. To me, that somebody else is the Panthers, so I'm swiping to the right.
Right. What about the tepid Baltimore Ravens?
No. They're 5-5. By the numbers, they've got one of the best defenses in the league, but their offense leaves a lot to be desired. Are they a playoff contender? Sure. Are they a Super Bowl contender? Hell no. I'm swiping to the left.
Okay. Arguably the best team in the NFL right now, New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I mean, tied for the best record in the NFL, or I should say in the loss category. They've only got one loss at 9-1. The Rams are 10-1. Yes, obviously I'm swiping to the right. The Saints are a Super Bowl contender. And when you break it down, as much as we want to talk about the Rams offense, the Rams offense, the Patriots offense, the Steelers offense, the Chiefs offense, the Texans offense, which are all averaging over 30 points per game, guess what the Saints are averaging? 37.5 points per game. Obviously, I'm swiping to the right.
All right, what about the bipolar Minnesota Vikings?
Right? What the hell? You win 13 games last year with Case Keenum as your quarterback, and then you back up a Brinks truck in the driveway of Kirk Cousins, and you get worse? I'm not even sure. They might finish in last place.
How?
The Lions, the Bears, and the Packers might all finish ahead of them. So, no, I'm firmly swiping to the left. I don't know what happened to the Vikings, but they're definitely not a Super Bowl contender. And then this last one is kind of like the girl who says she's got a great job and money and comes from a great family, blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect teeth, dimples. Basically, the girl that you look at it, you're like, wait a minute. Why are you on Tinder? That's the Patriots. That's the Chiefs. Of course, we're swiping to the right. 3 hours in the book. Two more coming up. We get back into the red and gold. It's time to give out grades for the Kansas City Chiefs right here on 610 Sports Radio. Renewed.